Welcome to the Fuller Chasing Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday. It's the 10th of November, and I'm recording at a late-ish 10 o'clock, 10 p.m. In what is, a cloudy London, but very warm. Okay, so mixed day in here, starting with stock markets. Japan's pretty steady, but just about break even in here today. It had done quite well yesterday. Now, China, the mainland indices were just a tiny fraction lower, less than a fifth of a percent. But the Hong Kong indices were hit in here today. That's the Hang Seng, down 1.43%, and also the H shares, the HSCEI index, down 1.82%. I wonder if that's, I wonder if the dollar strength is a factor there, because the Hong Kong dollar is pegged to the U.S. dollar, and the U.S. dollar has been awfully strong recently. Okay, more on that dollar in a moment. But we had weakness, significant weakness here in Taiwan, South Korea, also India. India has been very soft of late. That Bihar election loss is the main factor. That's a huge, huge state, between 110 to 120 million people, large Muslim population there. It's a very poor area. But it has done. It's got a good government. Got a good local government, and they've been churning out GDP for a little while of 10 to 12% per quarter. So that has helped to defeat Narendra Modi in his attempt to win control there. Make it easier for him to pass legislations, give him more power in the upper house. But he hasn't got it. So it's a little bit of a negative reassessment, and that lead was clearly that the local party in Bihar had was clearly well discounted by polls in that region before the actual election took place, because we've really had a progressive daily decline here by the Sensex and other Indian indices. They are quite oversold here at this time. We know we get choppy market conditions, and we've got them here right now. But at any rate, the Sensex was down 1.45% in here today. Bucking the trend, Malaysia, but up the tiniest of fractions. Okay, looking at the European indices, now against that background, they started weak, but then they rallied a bit, and then they weakened again, and then they rallied a little bit later in the day, and closed mostly with modest gains. The exceptions of the UK down a third of a percentage point. Also Sweden, that's down 4/5 of a percentage point. Switzerland down a third of a percentage point. And then some modest gains. One good gain up in the Italian market, that gained 1.5% in here today. Now, Wall Street was mostly underwater most of the day, and that came rattling off on Monday, as you will be aware, and that really sort of rang the bell that the rally had ended here, and it had been a very powerful four-week rally, as you know. And so really Wall Street had a little bit of downside follow through pre-market and in early trading, nothing big. And then it was gradually pegged back. And in the last half hour or so, 45 minutes, half hour, We had the Dow move close to its high for the day here, close with small gains, and the same for the NASDAQ here, but under a fifth of a percentage point for both those indices. The NASDAQ composite was lower by a quarter of a point. Largely due to Apple. I think Apple was down $3.20 in here today. The news item on this was that Apple had cut its orders with suppliers, and just alerting people that perhaps that iPhone 6 was not selling as well as had been expected. So that dragged Apple back down below that 120 level by about $3, and so it's still underperforming here. The tech stocks, the big tech stocks that are really doing well, like Facebook and Google, remain firm, but they are overextended here in the short term. Now, looking elsewhere, I hadn't checked government bonds recently. Let me just do that. Bring that up and as quickly as I can. And we can see it's a long code. Well, the yields had come down a little bit when Wall Street was weaker, but then picked up again. So US 10-year, that closed today at 2.34. So it's not far off the higher side of its range. But it has paused here at this level for the last 3 days. And in other developments here, the currencies, this dollar is very firm. The dollar index, well, trading after hours here at 99.171, 99.171. Now, it was firmer. It got up to 99 and a half. Now, remember that March and the March and April highs of this year within the current trading range were just above that psychological 100 level, where I remain convinced that the Fed asked the Treasury to go in and intervene surreptitiously, of course. They're not going to advertise something like that for obvious reasons. But it would be harder to do it. They may well be tempted to do it again, but it would be harder to do that this time because there's a lot of trading range support underneath the US dollar. And you know the view here. We feel that this is a lengthy consolidation within what is the dollar's now secular bull market, following the ending of that long 20-year plus secular bear market that the dollar experienced. Now, when I said still lengthy consolidation, but the strength that we've seen in the dollar index over the last fortnight suggests that, well, maybe this consolidation isn't going to go on for quite so long as I would like to see, and far more importantly, as the Fed would like to see, because a very strong dollar, that will be a headwind for U.S. autonomies. And those are the biggest U.S. companies, but they would be they're doing very well, but they would be earning in global currencies, and those earnings would then be reported in strong U.S. dollars. So that would have a downward impact on their dollar earnings. Also, a very strong dollar would increase the risk that some of those borrowers, people or countries that were borrowing in dollars last year, for instance, because it was so cheap and because the dollar was had no interest rate to speak of, and because it was highly liquid, And so it made sense for them to borrow in U.S. dollars, except they didn't anticipate that the secular bear market was ending. Whereas now they're underwater in those positions, and that would create additional, well, they're already they've, it's already created problems, but it would create more problems if we see that dollar appreciating sooner rather than later. The only way out of that is for stronger GDP growth, particularly among some of those Asian emerging markets that have those dollar borrowings. Elsewhere, we have a mixed picture here in the commodities, but the industrial sector is not doing well. Now, crude oil was a little firmer for much of the day, but here's an example. The Brent, which is the important one, Brent crude, that got up to 47.86. So we had modest gains on the day, and then it slipped back and is currently down 11 cents in after hours trading at 47.08, and now 47.07, just switch changing, and the WTI is also reversed a small earlier rally and is at 43.63. That's down 24 cents. Precious metals are mostly lower, not a whole lot, a little more by platinum. Platinum's the biggest loser, and it's right down on its lows. I think those are the August September lows, or is it just one of it's a low a couple of months ago. Here, I haven't got the chart right under my nose, but it's right on that low. It's very overextended, but needs a clear upward dynamic to reaffirm support or to suggest a bounce from that former low. Last time it was down here, it surged up off that low, but it's been red trading days, in other words, down, soft days every single day here, giving this oversold condition. And so this is a moment of truth here. My guess is that it'll steady at least temporarily. And among the others, let's see, palladium, not too bad, up a dollar in here, but to 598, so it's far from strong. Silver lost another 3.3 cents here to 114.38. I mean, these have been sharp declines. You know, that's not far off its lows. And remember, it wasn't. Two, 3 weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago, and we were looking at briefly at $16, and here it is at 14.38. So that's come right back down. And gold bullion itself, not that far off its lows, and it's at $1,090 in here today. That's down 2 1/4 days. Copper, down another cent here to 222, and we also had softness in the other industrial metal markets. In terms of grains and beans, it's a little better performance there overall. And just to emphasize, I've often made the point that really the big factor here is production, supply, and this is largely a weather factor. But you get a good yield, and these agricultural commodities can move sharply lower. You get any problems or concerns, and they can race higher. Examples, sugar. Had raced higher from those sort of August September lows, and then it came down, gave up a large chunk of those gains not long ago, but it was 9 cents higher in here. I should say $9 higher in here. No, 9 cents higher in here today, 384 and change. That's on the white sugar. And grains and beans here today, soybeans, corn, and wheat, they're all a bit lower. Did I mention the orange juice? I think I did, but orange juice, very strong. Here it's had a good couple of months. So again, that's supply concerns. So you see a mixed picture here, but it's really the industrial metals that are, and well, it's the I should say the industrial commodity sector that's under the most pressure here right now. There are a lot of short positions in those markets, and people haven't had any incentive to cover them just yet. When they do, we'll see some sharp rallies, but we may be a few days away from that. We'll see. On that note, all the very best to all of you.